And we'll introduce our first guest, Laura McLaughlin. Thank you for being with us, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me, Christopher.
So first, Laura, I wanted to just start out by asking you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do as a public health nurse for Gunnison County.
Yeah, so I'm Laura McLaughlin, and historically I've always been the family planning coordinator and done mostly birth control and STI testing and treatment. But then about 8 months ago, my life really changed. And so now I've been doing a lot of COVID work, which mostly involves case investigation and contact tracing.
So in other words, you're keeping the virus from reproducing. Family planning for the virus?
Right. So I used to deal with other communicable diseases, and now I'm dealing with COVID. And that is the goal, to try to keep the transmission down. So the first step, is identifying those cases. And when we have a positive case, we do the investigation and try to figure out who their close contacts are. And sometimes that can take quite a while. It's, you know, hard to remember sometimes. And that would be anyone that you've had contact with within 6 feet for 15 minutes or more without a mask for 2 days before your symptoms began. So that can be kind of tricky to remember.
Well, explain to us the process of doing all that contact tracing, and why is it so important in fighting the pandemic?
Well, luckily, everyone in our county pretty much has been so cooperative, and I think we've done a really great job at keeping the virus in check, because most of our cases come in from people who have traveled. They start to get sick. We identify them. We talk to them and figure out who they've been in contact with. And sometimes we'll have a few more cases related to that index case, but usually it stops there, and we've been able to keep it from going into a community spread.
So that's I guess, referred to as boxing it in, right? Can you explain that concept a little bit?
Sure. I mean, it keeps coming here. People keep traveling, and we keep having a small number of cases each day, but it's not as many as we had a couple weeks ago, I'm happy to say. But like I said, the ones we've been having the last few days have just been people who have traveled into town, and then those contacts. And so a lot of our positive cases, we pretty much knew we were going to get those positives. So that's been really reassuring that our contact tracing is working.
And so rather than, you know, when you box in this person or these contacts, I guess the concept is you're preventing them from spreading it to, say, 16 people as opposed to maybe 2 people. Is that kind of the concept?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so that's why we keep asking everyone to, you know, social distance and all those things, because it really is working. And it's really, I mean, we can see when parties happen and people aren't socially distanced, and we see little outbreaks. But yeah, we've been able to pretty much keep them maintained. So that's been good.
I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Community Matters here on KBUT. We're talking with Laura McLaughlin, who is a public health nurse for Gunnison County. Please do call and join the conversation. We have people standing by to answer your phone call, 970-349-7444. Laura, I want to ask you what it's been like to do the actual contacting part of the contact tracing. What are folks like when you call them up and talk to them? How do they react? You know, you've mentioned that in general, it's been very positive for you, but have you had any circumstances where people were, you know, resistant to the actions of the public health department?
Yes, I would say overall, people have been very positive, and some people are just really, really over the top, thankful and grateful for all of the work we're doing. But there are those few people who are just, and I totally understand the pressures that they're under, but, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to have to tell their boss that they can't come in, or, you know, there's just so many things that people are dealing with that it's really hard to get the call that, oh, you need to cancel everything for the next 2 weeks and stay home. That's hard.
Do you generally have people that comply with quarantine? Do they say, oh, yeah, absolutely, sure, no problem? Or do they say that's going to be a problem? Or do they say, yeah, sure, no problem, but you're thinking to yourself, you don't sound like you're taking this very seriously. You know, what's your experience there?
I definitely think when people are symptomatic, they're taking it seriously. I think it's really easy when people are asymptomatic to not take it as seriously. And, you know, none of these measures that we're doing are 100%. So we're just asking people to do the best they can. So, yeah, but for the most part, everybody's really trying their best, I think.
Absolutely. Well, again, I just want to remind folks, 970-349-7444 is the number to call if you'd like to ask a question of Laura McLaughlin, who's a public health nurse here in Gunnison County. So through contact tracing, what have we been able to learn about how the disease transmits? What are you finding out that surprises you, Laura?
Well, we've just had really great things from the school. I mean, we don't seem to think that the classroom is transmitting much of the virus, so that's been really great. We're seeing it most with household contacts and small get-togethers is where most of the transmission's happening. And like I said, people who have traveled are usually the ones that are bringing it.
And I think... Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Chris brought this up before. There are some anomalies. I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to step on your toes, Chris.
No. It's fine. You know, the funny thing, Laura, talking about this contact tracing and being a contact, not a case, and having to quarantine. I was recently a contact, and I had to quarantine. Rode in a car for 10 to 15 minutes with somebody. They are a remote worker. Didn't think there was any concern about them being exposed. I know I've kept myself kind of isolated, didn't wear masks, and, you know, we're talking and being very animated, drive out to a hiking site, and we go hiking for an hour. Of course, that was outdoors. Get back in the car again, drive home. And, you know, a day later, she came down with symptoms, tested positive, and called me. And I, you know, immediately, she went through a private provider, which is another kind of, you know, maybe you could speak to this also. When people go through private providers, there might not always be that contact tracing and protecting of the public. But, you know, in my case, I contacted public health. Of course, I got tested. And, you know, it was on day, I think, 11 of quarantine that I got my test results. Again, we have a couple things going on here. Nobody really knew whether I was quarantining or not. At day 8, I think I ran out of some soda and I was tempted to go to the store and get it myself. But how do you work with people to get them to adhere to really these guidelines? And then why didn't I get the COVID?
There's a lot of mystery. That's the million-dollar question, why you didn't get it. We've been seeing, you know, a number of cases where 3 out of 4 people in a family will test positive and one won't. There's still a lot of questions around this virus. Speaking to your point about the private provider, we definitely would get that result and we would know if you were positive and do contact tracing. Okay. So yeah, all the private providers were getting all that information and all the results from all the labs.
Okay, so nobody's slipping through the cracks in any way.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. All right. Now, this might be too personal, but I want to know why you're testing both nostrils now. It's one thing to have one nostril and touch your brain with that swab. Why are you doing both now? I mean, if I have COVID in one side of my face, won't I have it in the other?
You would think so, but I think they're just trying to improve the sample. But I really am not sure who made that decision.
Great.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, you go ahead, Chris, by all means.
It's hard on these Zoom things. Recently, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, came out and said that they're considering shortening the time of quarantine, maybe to 7 to 10 days rather than the full 14 days. Of course, that would also go alongside of testing. You know, what are your thoughts on shortening that? And typically, when does a person, you know, start to see symptoms after being exposed? What are you seeing through contact tracing?
I feel like that time frame has shortened since the beginning of the pandemic, but it's anywhere from 2 to 14 days. Oh gosh, I forgot the beginning of your question.
Well, CDC is considering shortening quarantine period from 14 days to maybe 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, and I think that's based on statistics, and they're trying to make decisions based on, you know, the most people that are likely to transmit it and things like that, and also improve all of our lives to the best that they can. That's my guess anyway.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm hearing this as I'm like in day 11 of quarantine, and I don't have a symptom.
Sorry.
And I'm thinking, if I'm going to get this thing, wouldn't I get it by now? So then when CDC came out with that, I was curious about some of the thinking. I know they're trying to get greater compliance by shortening, you know, the time period. And of course, if you can get a test in a timely manner, that would also help with that time period.
Well, that can be a little deceiving, because if you get the test too early and it's, you know, you still haven't built up enough viral load to test positive or to have symptoms, you know, you don't want to come out of quarantine too early.
Is that causing issues with people testing too early, getting false negatives?
We're trying to make sure that it's a full 7 days after exposure. So that's when they recommend testing. But sometimes that's a little tricky. And sometimes there is question about whether it was the right time to test.
Laura, does that stand true for folks that are symptomatic, like the classic symptoms that we hear about with no taste, no smell, where it's, oh, that's definitely COVID? Are you still waiting 7 days to test folks?
Yeah. Yep. I believe so. We're still waiting, but whether or not those people would test positive, I would think maybe they would earlier, but we're still waiting, I believe.
I want to remind folks they're listening to KBUT's Community Matters. My name is Christopher Biddle. I'm here with my co-host Chris Rourke, and we're talking with Laura McLaughlin, who is a public health nurse for Gunnison County. Please do call us and join the conversation, 970-349-7444. Laura, I kind of wanted to just sort of ask you about your a day in the life of a public health nurse during the pandemic. How many phone calls are you making on a daily basis? For contact tracing, I should specify.
For contact tracing, there was a case last week. I think one person had, 35 contacts. But for the most part, it's between like 5 and 10 contacts per case. And then each phone call can take quite a while, because there's so many details and so many questions and so many unknowns.
Can you give us a little sample of the script that you use to speak with these folks?
So I say, you've been identified as someone who's tested positive for COVID-19.
You did not win a sweepstakes. Go ahead.
And oftentimes they'll be like, oh, so-and-so. But sometimes we're able to have the conversation without really identifying who we're talking about. And I try to do that as much as possible. If they've been identified as a contact, I need to ask them if they think they've been around that person for 15 minutes without a mask. And if they need to be tested, and then we'll get them tested at the appropriate time. And then one of the public health nurses will call them back with the result. And the time frame has been all over the place as far as how long test results take. But the past few days have been much better, in like 2 days, 2 to 3 days.
Okay, I have a hot tip on that. I got a hot tip from public health, because it was the day before Thanksgiving and I'm waiting for my results. And I was told, if you have a patient portal at Gunnison Valley Health, you can log in and check for your results, which I did. And I got them sooner than the phone call that I got the next day. So there's a hot tip.
Okay. Sometimes we're faster than the portal. Sometimes we're not.
Okay. How do you keep it all organized? You know, all the people that you're speaking to and all their factoids.
Well, that's one exciting thing that's happening. I mean, we've had so many different changes with how we were going to collect data and things like that, but we are just today starting the state data system called Dr. Justina, which is named after one of the first African-American female doctor in Denver. And I'm pretty proud to be part of an organization that has such a commitment to health equity and honoring someone like that. But yeah, it's a great website, and hopefully it's going to help us all do contact tracing around the state. And it's really flashy and colorful and much better than the spreadsheets we've been using for the last few months. So I'm looking forward to it.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about this app that I guess would assist with contact tracing or notifying people. You know, if they opt in to this system, it can certainly help people know if they've been exposed to COVID. But it's been somewhat controversial. Do you know much about the response to the app or whether it's helping in the contact tracing department?
I haven't heard what the response has been, but I did hear some projections about if just a small percentage of people used it, it could really have a big impact. And I know some of the concerns are around confidentiality, and they keep reassuring us that there's no reason to worry about that. So I think it's a good thing to do.
Maybe this is a question that we can ask our next guest later on, who might be a little bit more familiar with goings on at the state level. But I'm curious to know whether or not that app is better suited for an urban setting with 5G coverage than it is, up here at 9,000 feet with 12,000 foot peaks surrounding us, and coverage as spotty as it is. I'm wondering if that. If the app works as well as it does, here as it does in Denver, do you have any experience with that, Laura?
They make it sound like it's going to work everywhere, but I'm not sure. Yeah, sure. You should ask John Daly if he has any more information about
that. Sure. Well, that's a good teaser. We are going to be talking to John Daly later on in the show. He's a health reporter for Colorado Public Radio, talking about the statewide response. But here we're talking with Laura McLaughlin, who is a Gunnison County public health nurse. Again, we love for you to join the conversation, ask your questions of a public health nurse, what it's been like to work during this pandemic. 970-349-7444. Laura, I was wondering, I wanted to get back to that kind of experience of what it's like to pick up the phone and learn that you may be at risk. It depends on who you're talking to, but what kinds of feelings do patients, express? Are they concerned? Are they worried? Are they laughing it off? What do you notice?
Oh gosh, it's all across the board. You know, some people, when I call them, they're sick at home and they've been dealing with their primary care doctor and they're on oxygen and yeah, they're worried and they're scared. And other people they're fine or they're asymptomatic and it's no big deal. So it just is such a big range. And that's part of what makes this virus so mysterious.
What about something, I'm going to speak to this personally. What about COVID shame? I mean, there's got to be a certain element where either you find out you've tested positive and potentially have exposed other people, or that you're a contact and you didn't know that you were a contact and you may have exposed other people. Can you speak to that? Is that something that occurs readily?
Oh, I think so. I mean, when I'm talking about contacts, there's far too many people who claim that they don't have any contacts or they just have their household contacts. They're a little reluctant to mention the brunch they went to or the whatever it was, more likely the Halloween party or, the COVID shame is a real thing for sure, because it's almost like you did something wrong if you get it, but that's totally not the case.
That's exactly how it feels like. I did something wrong and now I'm dealing with this. How do you help people through those? I mean, certainly they express those thoughts to you.
Yeah, I definitely am trying to get that message out that it's nobody's fault. It's, you know, we're all in this together. We're all, you know, we're all trying our best to do the precautions that we can, but it's in the air, you know, what are we going to do? It's going to get some of us and we just have to help each other.
Very good.
Again, you're listening to Community Matters here on KBUT at 625. Laura McLaughlin is our guest. She's been a public health nurse with Gunnison County since 2005. She's joining us this evening to talk about her experience working during the pandemic. Laura, how do you and your coworkers stay at it day after day? We've talked a lot about COVID fatigue, and there's a lot of concern around that at the statewide level and at the local level and at the, you know, personal level for a lot of folks. How do you stay vigilant in the work that you do?
Oh, gosh, I'm really thankful for our nursing team. There are six of us, and it's been rough for sure, and we've all had our bad days, and we just have shown each other a lot of grace and support and realizing that this pandemic really stinks for everybody, and we're just trying to get through each day, and here we are 8 months later.
Sure. We actually do have a listener-submitted question here for Laura. Laura, have you gotten COVID yourself, if you'd like to share that with us? And if so, what were your symptoms or experience? And this listener also wanted to know, can you get it again?
I did have COVID way back at the beginning of March when a lot of people had it in our valley. There weren't enough tests at that time for me to get a test. I later got an antibody test to know for sure, but I did lose my taste and smell and all that. And there haven't been very many reports of people getting it again, but I don't know for sure the answer to that question. I think we're still trying to figure that out, but it doesn't seem like people are getting it again from my experience.
Sure. It seems like the kind of thing that, you know, an overly cautious health official may not want to, you know, to say absolutely not, no chance. But I think that I've heard that in general, that, you know, that's what people are saying. They're just not really willing to confirm it fully yet. So again, I want to remind listeners they're listening to Community Matters. Laura McLaughlin is our guest. Still to come on the show, we're going to be talking to CPR health reporter John Daly. That is Colorado Public Radio health reporter John Daly. And then still later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Ian Havlick and Zach Guy of the Crested Butte Avalanche Center for another regular update on avalanche conditions here in the listening region. Laura, I just wanted to say before we let you go, thank you so much for the work that you've done to keep us all safe during the pandemic, and thanks for being on the show with us this evening.
Thank you so much for everything you do. KBUT has been really vital during this whole response. So, yeah, we're all in this together. Thank you.